Let's just pray for Colin. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for Colin, Lord. And we just pray that you fill him afresh with your spirit and that the vision that you've put in his heart for us in this season would just be released through him, that we would catch hold of it. Lord, we just want to hear your word to us this morning. Amen.
Good morning. I hope now, by now, you're beginning to get familiar with our vision statement. I try and put it up whenever I can, because I know these things take a while to sink in. But it's important to me. It's important to the leadership of the church. This is what we're going for. We really believe that God is calling us to do these two things, to impact our communities, to make a difference in the places where we live, in our homes, in our streets, in our schools, in our businesses, in our towns, in our region. And we really also believe that God is asking us to be part of something that he's doing nationwide and worldwide and bringing about a reformation in the church, bringing us back to the fundamentals, bringing us back to what it's all about, which is the love that he has for this world and for us and the power that is available to those who believe, to mend broken things, to put things right. We really want to get there. And I'm encouraged when I look around at our congregations, guys. I really am encouraged. Honestly, you may not know all the congregations, you may not know all the teams, but they're working really well together. There's a great sense of spirit of unity amongst us. And there's an excitement in every single congregation team in this season, which I thank God for. I really thank God for. It doesn't happen in every season. You've been in leadership as long as Andy has. You probably know that doesn't happen in every season. But you know, it's good. It's good season. And I look around at the congregations, I get excited at the, you know, we are seeing signs of the kingdom come, and we are seeing healings regularly, we are seeing people saved occasionally, and we are seeing our influence in the communities grow. You know, we've got the Marlow, where they're feeding the homeless regularly in Wickham. The Marlow Youth Centre, where we're impacting those communities, the 30 or 40 kids coming along weekly. That's being added to the holiday week and River Life. We've got the Journey with Life Worth Living and their community lunches and seeing the community just begin to accept them and begin to see them as a real positive thing in the middle of Engerfield Green. We're seeing Slough with the new team, the new life, the new day that Di was talking about earlier, doing healing on the streets and partnering with other churches and representing all nations, which is what that town needs, a church, a vibrant church, which is going to represent every nationality that's there. And we've got Maidenhead with their Santas on the high street, which I just love. It's a bit Doctor Who-like, isn't it, really? And a whole army of Santas out on the high street. Just start worrying if there's whirling lights up here in the sky. But there's that, there's the Larchfield Festival, there's healing on the streets again there, and it's growing sense of impacting our communities, which I'm really grateful for. But, you know, for me, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, we're nowhere near where we need to be. Nowhere near. I love climbing hills, okay? We've just left the car park. Seriously, we've just left the car park. And if you go climbing and you just leave the car park, it's actually quite difficult to find your way on the path. It takes a little while. It's one of the hardest bits of the walk sometimes. But you find your way onto the path and then you see the mountain stretching before you. And then your legs start to ache. And you say, I don't really want to do this today. Should we go back and have a cup of tea or a beer at the pub? That's what you say. That's what you feel like. I mean, I'm not the only one. When I chat to my walking mates, we all feel it. But we push through that time because we know it's a glory day. It's a glorious day on the hills coming. There's a lot of excitement. There's those peaks. There's those scrambles. There's those moments when you're going to be in fear of your life. Because we live too tame. Our lives are too tame. There's not enough excitement. So you get up onto these, some people, that's true, and you get up onto these ridges and it's just unbelievable. You just don't know what's going to happen. The weather can be against you and you can be terrified, but it's excitement, it's adrenaline pumping and you love it. And so you set out and you get through that pain barrier because you know actually you're called to those high places, those breathtaking places with amazing grandeur. You look around and see the wonderful scenery and just experience creation in a different way. And it just does your heart good and does your body good as well because you get lots of exercise. I love it. But we just left the car park, guys. We're at that stage where we're walking up the hill and we're thinking, is it worth it? you know, oh, my legs are beginning to feel this. This is going to be hard work. But I want to say to you today, it's worth it. The breathtaking heights are calling us in the Spirit today. The breathtaking heights are calling us in the Spirit. I sense it. I feel it. I felt it for a while, but I still feel it today. God is calling us higher. God is calling us to greater influence, to see greater things than we've seen in the past. God is doing things in our land today which are remarkable, which people will write about in future years as a blessed time. I know that's going to be true, and I want this church to be part of that. Yeah, I'm not going to be satisfied until we get to the point where we're seeing on a regular basis, on a weekly or a daily basis, people catching the glimpse of Jesus Christ for the first time and saying, wow, I want to give my life to that man. I want to follow him wherever he goes. I'm not going to be satisfied until we get to that point where that's happening week in, week out, where we don't have time for their testimonies on a Sunday morning. Because there's a God in heaven who cares for every man, woman, and child in our towns. He has an ocean of love looking for vessels to pour it through. Yeah. I'm not going to be satisfied until we get there. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? How on earth are we going to climb this mountain? Well, you know, I've talked about my values in the past. I'm not going to talk about them again today, otherwise I wouldn't have time. Talking of time, better get my... Yeah, otherwise I might just forget where I am. Well, you know, I've talked about the goodness of God, the openness of God, the love of God, the dynamic power, how we all want these things weaved into all that we are and do as a church. And I believe if we do that, we will see healthy things develop in our midst. Healthy programs, healthy cells, healthy signs of life, healthy congregations. But it's not enough. It's not enough. We need more. How are we going to climb this mountain? I think, you know, we're all going to be agreed on a few things. One is, if we're going to climb this mountain, we've got to work together. Yeah. None of us can do it on our own. No one's ever done a solo attempt of Everest, you know, from start to finish. You just can't do it. It's impossible. You can't carry enough food. You can't carry enough, you know, it's just, you need a team. We need a team to get to the top of this mountain. We all need to pull in the same direction if we're going to achieve our vision. We also don't want to control one another. We don't want to run this like an army where everyone's done exactly what they're told, nothing more, nothing less. That's not church, is it? Church is more a family than an army. We want everyone to be free, free to follow their calling, free to follow their heart where they feel the Lord calling them, free to be where the Spirit is directing them. And most of us have busy lives, which constrains some of that freedom. Constrains some of the, you know, it's true. And when you put all that together, you suddenly think, oh my word, how are we going to do this? It's a bit chaotic. It looks a bit like my shirt. You see, it's a mass of birds just flying around all over the place, seemingly completely at random. And at this point, I had a beautiful little illustration, a movie clip, which I can't show you because I duffed up the technology. It works well on my Apple, but not so well on the PC. So I haven't got that, but you know, you get that. Where's Paul West?
Where is he?
He's hiding. He was here a minute ago. There he is. There's a man who likes to go to Otmore. I had a lovely clip from Otmore, 2007. And it was a gathering of the starlings. And you know, it just looked like a right old mess as these starlings gathered together and made a lot of noise and fluttered about. In their groups of 20 and 50, then 100 and 1,000. And then all of a sudden, that one moment of the day, these birds start to swirl. And not in their thousands, you know, but tens of thousands. Birds just sway and move majestically, almost like they're being, you know, orchestrated by some grand conductor. And it's just amazing. It looks breathtaking and it's beautiful. And I think, wow, maybe we can get that way as a church with each of us being a little starling or a little bird, you know, but doing our own thing. But actually, combined, we can actually do something really breathtaking and beautiful. Yeah. And when sociologists look at this, okay, when behavioural scientists look at this, they actually figured out they can model it with just three basic rules. If you simulate it on a computer, with each bird following three basic rules, there's a rule of proximity. Don't fly too close to the one next to you, otherwise you bump into them. and you never see starlings bumping into each other. There's one about cohesion. Always steer towards the centre of the mass, so we stay together. And one about direction, and always steering in the same direction as the majority in the flock. And if you just program those three basic rules into the simulation, you get the same wonderful swirling patterns that develop on the computer screen that look like a flock of starlings. Each one free, but just keeping three things in mind. And I think I was thinking and meditating about this, and I thought, Lord, what are those things that we could keep in our minds that would help us to swell like a flock of starlings in a majestic way over our towns? Come on. Can we do that in a way which is going to really glorify God and really display God's beauty and lift up Jesus over our towns? Is it possible? What are those things that we would have to keep uppermost in our minds? What are the daily things that we have to do if we're to see our vision fulfilled? And I really felt the Lord speak to me about on three things. The first one, I'm glad Kristen said what he said, because it just shows we have listened. And this is our number one. The number one aim of every member of our community is this, to look on the face of Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a famous little passage, but it's worth reading. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty,
yeah,
or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. And he goes on. He gets down to verse 5 and 6 of chapter 4. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Yeah.
If you want to know what God is like, it's saying here, the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus. The face of Christ. And if you want to be transformed, if you're not happy with the way you are, if we want to be transformed to become more like him, if we want to be more perfect, if we want to be more mature, if we want to be more Christ-like, and let's face it, guys, the world needs us to be more Christ-like. It needs every one of us to be more Christ-like. Not just the leadership, but every single one of us to be more Christ-like, to be more mature, to be more whole, to be more full of his Spirit. The world is groaning, it says in Romans 8, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. It's waiting for us to grow up and to become mature, strong, vibrant, life-bringing, freedom-bringing Christians.
Yeah.
Loving people.
Yeah.
And it's the source of that transformation. But the point of this passage, the source of that transformation is the Spirit, yes. But it's the Spirit who does it as we gaze on the face of Christ. It's as we behold the face of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He is amazing. Jesus is amazing. We read the stories of him. He is incredible. He is so full of love, so full of grace, so full of mercy, so gentle and yet so powerful and faithful. You read the stories, you can't help but fall in love with him. The God who goes around setting people free. Freedom from sicknesses. Freedom from skin diseases. Freedom from death. Freedom from demons. Freedom comes wherever he goes. Non-judgmental. Accepting everybody for where they're at and just encouraging them to go in the right direction. He is beautiful in the extreme. And guys, you know, we need to be bathing ourselves in that face as much as possible. To be looking at Jesus, seeing those qualities as Moses did when he said, show me your glory. Looking at the glory of God, the character of our God, and letting it change us as His Spirit works in us. Because love is the most powerful changing agent in the world. Do you know that? You don't need to look at a married couple to see that. When you love someone, you become more like them. It's true. And when you love someone, you do crazy things for them. When we love Jesus, we do crazy things for Him and we become more like Him. He is the source. He is the source. And we can choose today whether we live in the light of His love or we don't. You know, I was once on holiday in the Hebrides, the Outer Hebrides, and at the south of the island, it was a beautiful sunny day, but the wind was ripping. It was freezing. I was wearing all my heavy coats and fleeces, and it was really chilled. And you're huddled up against this wind, really struggling. And you got to the south of the island, and there was this brick stone wall. We just hopped over the stone wall, okay? And all of a sudden, we were lying in T-shirts in the sunshine, watching the seals play in the surf below, and looking for birds. And you could be in the same place. You could be in virtually exactly the same place and have two very different experiences. One side of the wall, huddled against the wind, huddled against the sheer chill, which is biting and really draining every energy you've got. Or you could be on the other side of the wall, bathing, coats off, T-shirts, just lying, receiving the warmth of the sun and just enjoying creation. It's the same in our lives. If we're looking on the face of Christ, the more we do that, the more we bathe in the sun. It is the source of inspiration. It's the source of love. He is the source of life itself. If you're not in the habit of doing that, make it your number one priority to look at Jesus, to receive the love He has for you. This God who made everything loves you with an undying passion. It says in the Bible that He loves us as far as the heavens are above the earth. That's a long way. You know, you ask a kid how much they love you. They just put out their arms, don't they? I love you this much. You know, when God says it, He says as far as the heavens are above the earth. His arms are a bit bigger. He loves us. And to know that love is the most thrilling, liberating, joy-creating thing that you can ever know. Don't put it off. If you don't know that love today, do not put it off another day. It will help you to be the man or the woman you've always wanted to be. It sets you free when you love like that. Amen. I heard someone agrees with me. That's good. It's through intimacy that, you know, fullness we receive through intimacy, as was read out in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, it's through knowing the love of Christ, the height and the width, the length and the depth, the love of Christ, that we're filled up to the fullness of our God. It's knowing His love that enables us to become more like Him. So we enjoy His presence as our first priority. He is the head or the source. He's the head of the body, the source of life. Everything flows from Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2 that He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the pioneer or leader, and He's the completer or finisher of our faith. How do we do this? You know, it's not just about Sundays. Sundays are great. We spend a few minutes worshipping. We spend a few minutes listening to some crazy guy witter on about the love of God. You know, we spend a few minutes in prayer, maybe. We spend a few minutes with one another. But Sundays are not enough. There's too much going on a Sunday. We've got our deeper evenings, like tonight. I love our deeper evenings, let me tell you. Because we can abandon ourselves to the presence of Jesus in those. There is nothing else we have to do but just enjoy His love, just to sunbathe, just to bathe in His goodness. They are fantastic. But that's not enough. I recommend everybody joins a small group and meets regularly in a small family setting. We can really enjoy one another's love and the love of Jesus to help one another gaze on the face of Christ. Prayer triplets are good. But the most important thing is that we develop those personal, private spaces, guys, when we're gazing on the face of Jesus. It used to be, when I joined the church, that used to be the number one message that came across to all new Christians. I got it rammed down my throat every week. Find a place for your quiet time. Are you having a quiet time? Are you having your place with the Lord, your private place for the Lord? I never hear anybody asking that these days. It's a shame. It really is a shame, because that is the source of life for us. Gazing on the face of Christ. And that's the main way we do it. It's those personal, intimate times when it's just you and your Father. It's the strength of life. You cannot hope, really. No marriage would survive unless you had one-on-one time. You need the one-on-one times. Every relationship does. Most important thing, do whatever works for you in creating those spaces, whatever works. Reading his word, praying, going for a walk, whatever it might be, whatever, taking a bath sometimes, whatever it might be, find those spaces where you can just be you and him, when you can actually just gaze on his face. I recommend always reading scripture. Stops you just filling things with your own imaginations. It helps you to see Jesus, who he really is. So that's our number one aim, to look on the face of Christ. Number two is to love everyone we meet. Love is the goal of creation. It's the reason we were made, so that this whole planet will be populated by love. It's supposed to be a love fest, the whole thing, the whole ball spinning through space. It's supposed to be one giant party of people loving one another. I love it when it says in Romans 13, verse 8, it says, let no debt remain. Owe no one anything, or owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We choose love above everything else. We choose love because God is love. When you look on the face of Christ, that's what you receive. That's what you get filled up with. And that's what you give out to those around. We love everyone we meet. It's what comes bubbling out of us because we receive so much from Jesus. So when it comes to our doctrines, we choose love. If it helps me to love God more, I believe that doctrine. Thank you very much. It becomes a marker. It becomes a way of measuring what's worthwhile and what's not worthwhile. Just turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. This is beautiful. It's a really beautiful picture. I've read it many times, but something just clicked the other day as I was reading a commentary by J.C. Maxwell. Oh, I don't agree with a lot, but this was brilliant. Verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's incredible. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So God is the source of love. That's what he's saying. God is the source of love. And if we claim to love him, we'll become like him. We'll become lovers. And then it goes on. It says, look at this. By this, the love of God was manifested or made apparent in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So if God is the source of love, God is actually the real source of it. Christ is the manifestation of his love on this earth. Christ is the beginning of his love on this earth. Christ is where God's love becomes apparent. You know, it says in John chapter 1 that no one has ever seen God, but Christ displayed him. Christ displayed him. Christ modeled him for us. Christ has made him known. Christ has made love known. But then look what goes on. It doesn't stop with Christ. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Oh my word. That's amazing. So God is the source of love, pumping his love through Christ into the world. It becomes made apparent through Christ, but it doesn't stop there. Christ pumps his love into the body. Christ is the source of the church, the head of the body. He pumps his love into the body. And when people see us loving one another, they see God, it says. No one has seen God, but when we love one another, his love is perfected or completed in us. His love is perfected or it accomplishes that for which God sent it. That's amazing. Can you get your head around that? Us loving one another is the accomplishment of what God was doing. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm amazed by that. We make the invisible God visible in that way. Christ first made invisible, but his followers continue to make God visible around the world as we love one another. So if a belief doesn't help us love God more or love people more, it's unfruitful, unimportant, unhelpful. Simple as that. We choose the things that are going to help us to love people more, going to help us to love God more. So when Nepalis come up to me, I'm often going over to Nepal, when they come up to me and say, what do you think about head coverings, Pastor? Because that's a really big controversial subject over there. They'd be very worried looking at all you ladies, so free. Because a lot of pastors lay the law down to them and say, you must wear head coverings, otherwise you're dishonouring God. And they always want to know what I think. And I think, oh, what do I say? If I say one thing, I offend the pastors. If I say another thing, you know, I offend them because they want to be free. And I'm thinking, well, what do you... And you think, well, I always say to them, does it help you love God more? For me, that's the test of everything. If it helps me love God more, then do it. If it doesn't help you love God more, then don't do it. It's not important. Does it help you love people more? Then do it. If it doesn't help you love people more, then don't. It's not important. Because love is the ultimate measuring stick that God is going to use when he's looking for fruitfulness in our lives. That's the thing he's looking for. You know, he's going to search for all the undergrowth and all the sticks and all the twigs, but he's going to look for those bits of love, those nuggets of love in our hearts, which is amazing. So how do we love? How do we love? We prefer one another. We lay down our lives for one another. We have open hearts and open homes. Hospitality is key. You know, that's why hospitality is a key gift for leadership in the church, because it's a sign of love. You open up your home to someone, to strangers. You open up your life to strangers. You invite people in. Hospitality. We're not well known for that in our nation. You go to other nations, they're renowned for it. Welcoming strangers and feeding them all, even when they don't want to eat. We should be more like that. Generosity and kindness and forgiveness overflowing. You know, these are the kinds of qualities that we have to aim for if we're going to aim to love people. Forget about demanding our rights. Forget about thinking of ourselves, but always think about the other person. It's simple, really, but so difficult to do because our flesh screams out to us, what about me? Let me tell you, if it's just you thinking about you, that's not very much. But if you've got another 400 or 500 people thinking about you, that's pretty good going, isn't it? I know what I'd rather have. Not just me thinking about me. I'd rather have the whole church thinking about me. And if we're all doing that, the church would be an amazing place, an attractive place, a place where I'll be proud to bring people, proud to introduce people to our community, because love overflows. The third one, live like heaven is near. Every day, this should be our aim. To live like heaven is near. And this is basically what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out. If you read Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8, Jesus sends them out and gave them authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, to drive out demons. And he said, wherever you go, preach this news, this good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. And you demonstrate it by doing those things. And it's just struck me, often we just don't live like that. We just got to live like we expect heaven to be breaking in at any moment. Yeah. You see, God is a gentle God, as I've already said. He loves to partner with us. He's not a God that likes to do things on his own. Jesus was fully God and fully man. The Bible was inspired by the Spirit, but written by men. The church is the body of Jesus, filled by his Spirit, but actually only doing what the body will agree to do. Jesus is looking for people. I think it's Kristen who keeps pointing that out to us in the Old Testament, where it says that God is looking for people in whom he can show himself strong, looking for places where he can leak into this place, into this world, where his Spirit can leak in, where his will can be done, where healing can come, where freedom can come. He wants to work in partnership with us. We owe people an encounter with heaven when we meet them. Everyone we meet, we owe an encounter with a living, loving Father God in Jesus. Jill, where are you? Jill, come up and briefly share that story. You had an encounter recently, I believe, where heaven broke in. Come and tell us it. It's very exciting.
We went up to the border of Burma, And in Maasai, there's a drop-in centre for the boys, young street kids. And we walked up onto the top of the building and looked over Burma. And you could just feel the evil presence there. It was horrific. And I found it really hard. It was tangible. Anyway, the next day we went over the border and we went to a church there who entertained us beautifully, and we were able to talk and prophesy and minister to them. And a lady came over with a young boy, 2-3-year-old, but he was wrapped round, how they do it, with the shawl to hold him, which was unusual for a child of that size, because he's so tall. And she indicated that there was something wrong with his head, there was something wrong with his speaking, and then held up his arms, and they were all floppy, and his legs were all floppy. And we prayed, and we kept praying, and we kept praying. We were a team of 9, and we were all united. We all were praying for this child. And she then released him from the shawl and put him on my lap. And I felt that was so significant, that she had actually handed him over. And we carried on praying, and the mother held his hands and he stood up. And we were just amazed. He had never put his feet on the ground. And he walked. And before this, I have to say, he was distressed. He was crying. He was very upset. He was very angry, but we carried on praying and we believe a demon was driven out. And it was after that that he was able to stand and walk. And then we carried on praying and he was running and he was laughing. And the people in the congregation were clapping and it was just incredible. But the whole thing was because we were united. We were all praying for the same thing at the same time and the child was released.
Jesus, come on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Celts used to have this expression, thin places. Do you know what I mean by that? They recognized there are certain places where they could go and they could sense the tangible Spirit of God. They could just sense the presence of God's Spirit and know that heaven was near. And they would expect miracles to happen there. They would expect the kingdom to come there. Guys, I want you to know this in your hearts, okay? If you're following Jesus, if you love God, you are a thin place. You are a thin place. Live in that knowledge. Proactively. Let's live deliberately, intentionally in thin places, as a thin place. Let's be expectant as people made in God's image who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jars of clay, yes, completely flawed, absolutely, but containing such a treasure. Containing such a treasure that's waiting to burst out of us at any moment. That's waiting to burst out at any moment and bring freedom and bring healing and bring joy and drive away depression, drive away hopelessness, drive away loneliness. This should be our experience, because we have the weight of God pressing in through Christ into us, into this world. God looking to see where he can release his love. Not because we've earned it, not because we're any good, but just because he loves us and he's gracious and willing. You know, I love that. Let's live like that. Let's live intentionally, please. I am a thin place. Come on, ladies, you can all say that. I am a thin place. I am a thin place. I'm a dwelling place of God by his Spirit. I am a jar of clay, but I contain such amazing treasure. Say it to yourself. Repeat it. Meditate on it. Oh, Jesus. And if you don't know that, if you haven't invited Christ into your life, because God's a gentleman, he won't come into you, ask him. If you're sitting here this morning and you haven't known that, if you haven't invited him to your heart, do it today. Why wait? Who wouldn't want the spirit of love to live in them? Who wouldn't want the spirit of life and freedom and joy to live in them? Don't waste another moment, I tell you. I waited until I was 20, between the age of 20 and 24, and I regretted those first 20, 24 years. Don't wait another day. It's the best thing you'll ever do. So how do we live like a thin place? We just have to be expectant. We just have to expect, actually, that things are going to happen around us and through us. And we have to expect that God is wanting to do things in us and through us, despite all of our warts. The trouble is with us, we wander around with an image of ourselves, which is so distorted. And we know all the bad things. We're aware of all the things, that the reasons why God wouldn't want to use us. And we let that get in the way. And God says, just get out of the way, will you? I'm coming through. Make way. Make way. Make way. Allow God to work through you. Not because you've earned it. Not a pride thing. Just a love thing. Just a love thing. So prophesy, knowing that all of heaven is backing you up with power, to empower your words to bring about a reality. Lay hands on the sick, just as Jill and the team did, and see a young boy who's never walked walk. That's phenomenal, because you're a thin place. The Spirit of God lives in you. At every opportunity, let's do this. Let's cast out demons. There are demons in our society, even though our society doesn't like to talk about them. There are some. We don't look at them for everywhere, but there are some. And we need to drive them out. And go on mission trips. Because when you go on mission trips, it gets dragged out of you. The kingdom of heaven gets dragged out of you, even if you don't want to. It's true. Because people see you coming and they think, oh, he's come as part of the church. He's come as a missionary. I must go and get prayed for by him because God performs miracles. And they believe that. And they say, will you pray for me, please, pastor? Will you pray for me, please? And they'll see you as a little bit of hope coming to them. And they'll say, pray for me. All kinds of strange things you'll have to pray for and believe God for. Because if you don't, you'll just feel a bit of a numpty. It's true. They drag it out of you. Here, you know, it's not so easy. People aren't sort of pulling on you every 5 seconds to say, come and pray, come and pray, come and pray. But we should, actually. We should. I want to honor Tina, who called me up the other day to say, Colin, will you come and pray with me? There's a lady that I've just discovered is dying. Will you come and pray with me? She offered prayer to that lady, believing that God is a God of hope who could step into that situation. Tina, you're a thin place. Keep doing that. God's love is breaking into this world through you, Tina, every day. Every day. You're a beautiful lady, and you're changing lives every day. And never let Satan tell you otherwise. You are amazing. Paul, you know, he knows he's a thin place. One of his partners, has just discovered he's got a motor neurone disease, and he says, will you come and pray with me? I said, of course, absolutely. Let's go and expect God to do something. Let's live like we're thin places. When we hear about a neighbour being sick, it's easy not to do anything, isn't it? Or just drop in a card saying, I hope you get better. Actually, no, that's not being a thin place. Let's go and offer and say, actually, I believe that God moves in miraculous power to bring healing. Let's offer to be a thin place for someone. Now, when you do that, that's pretty scary. You might want to take a friend along. We can all do that. I give you free permission to ask any men in the leadership to come along. Because they're all thin places. Come on. Come on, Jesus. You know, I believe if we do this, we make these three things our daily aim. If we live with these as constant things that we carry around in our heart, to look on the face of Christ, the source of love, to love everyone we meet and to live like heaven is near, I do believe that we will carry heaven, and I do believe we'll see a breakthrough. We will see our homes, our streets, our towns impacted by the love of God. And as we model that, we'll see change in the church more widely. I believe that to be true. I want to ask to pray. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We know, Lord God, that you are God who loves. We just don't love anywhere near enough. You are amazing. Help us to love you more. open our eyes that we might see you, Lord Jesus. Help us all to develop those spaces in our lives that we might see you, Lord Jesus, high and lifted up, that we might see you in your glory. We might see how much you love us and those around us. Oh, Lord, and give us the grace to live a life of love, laying down the needs of the body, the flesh, the need to be right, the need to be seen, the need for anything else but to love. Help us to love one another and to love those we meet. Everyone we meet, we owe the debt of love. We owe no one else anything. Help us, Lord Jesus, to live with that in our minds all the time. And Lord, finally, help us to live like we're a thin place, to live in the knowledge of your love, to know that because of your overwhelming love, you're looking for a place to break into this world, to mend brokenness, to set captives free, to bring life and healing in the name of Jesus. And you might be sitting here now and you're just saying, Colin, that's all right for you, but I'm struggling to see the face of Christ. And that's the source, and I can't even begin. You've mentioned that as the beginning. I can't even begin. I can't see the source. If that's you, I want you to be brave now. If you're struggling to see the face of Christ, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you're struggling, if you want to see the face of Christ, you need to see the face of Christ today. You want to be part of this. And raise your hand. Don't let this day go by. This could be the most important day of your life. Could be the first time you've asked to see the glory of God, asked to experience his love. It might be a subsequent time. But God is longing to be invited into your heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to pray for those that have raised their hands right now, Lord Jesus. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom to come. For your son to do what he promised and go and live with them. To eat with them, to dine with them. To bring his spirit. Oh, Lord. Reveal yourself. Help these people, Lord Jesus, in their need. Lord God, you say we can come boldly before the throne of grace and know that we're going to get help in our need, help in our time of need. Lord God, I pray for these people, Father, that raise their hands, that they would experience a tremendous outpouring of your grace today and tomorrow and this week. Lord God, they would know you with them. They would know your spirit with them, that you would help them to see you, that you would speak to them, Lord God, and let them know you're there. In their situation, in their distress, in their trial, in their suffering, Lord Jesus, and that you're bringing your power to bear, you're bringing freedom, you're bringing hope, you're bringing release, you're bringing life and healing through your son. Oh, Lord God, help them to lie in that sunny side of the wall, Lord Jesus, to bathe in your love in these coming days. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Protect them from the enemy, Lord Jesus. Drive away the dark clouds of gloom. The despairs, the lies, drive them away, Lord Jesus. You're faithful. You're so faithful, Lord Jesus. You're so faithful. When anybody asks that prayer, you always answer. So I know you're going to meet these people. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.